I get the okay from Meg? Okay?
Yes.
Okay, it is 10:30 on Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. The August meeting of the State Board of Arizona Dispensing Opticians is called to order. Roll call.
Michael Searle, present.
Sherry Mays, present.
Dale Nyblade, present.
Eileen Pettit, present.
Suzanne Coleman, present.
Okay, that's the current board members present, as well as our Assistant Attorney General, Scott Donald, as well as our Executive Director, Megan Darian. Declarations of conflicts of interest. There are no conflicts. Excellent. Review, discuss, and approval of the minutes from the June meeting.
I make a motion to accept the June 5th minutes.
And I'll second that.
I'll second it.
And seconded by either one.
Doesn't matter.
Sherry Mays. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 No opposed. Minutes are approved as written. Let's move right on into our presentations. We've got a person that needs to catch a plane, so we're going to get Mr. Morris up and at him. And then, Susie, I'm sorry you're not going to be able to look unless you get that link, but you'll be able to look it up later to see what he's going to give us.
Did he send us the link?
I did send the link.
Send it.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I'll go ahead and try and look then.
This is 4A, which is a presentation from ABONCLE. Chief Dog.
I'm not going to be able to put it on the big screen.
Yeah.
So my apologies. My name is James Morris. I'm the Executive Director and General Counsel for the American Board of Opticianry. I have spoken to several of you before, but not all of you. It has been my goal and the goal of my board to have me come and present as often as you all are willing or as often as it's appropriate for me to provide some updated information. Last time I was here to actually present, I believe was 2016, may have been 15, and at that time we only had one board that had adopted our exam, the practical exam. We are now obviously, we're used by every state now. Let me provide a little bit of update. Washington and North Carolina used to have their own exams, written exams. They canceled that and adopted our practical and our basic exams as their state exam. The only one left now that doesn't use our exam in any way is New Jersey. New Jersey has its own written, its own practical, and we're in process with them addressing that right now. Since I was here last, Rhode Island, I believe, had adopted it at that time. Now you all have adopted it. Nevada, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Washington, Georgia. There are 11 states that have formally adopted it, two additional that I'm not at liberty to address until it's finalized in the regulations. And Massachusetts is meeting today because they currently use our hands-on practical, but after South Carolina switched to our virtual practical, Massachusetts is also addressing it. So that's the update on the states, but what I'm really here to do is to provide to you, with your permission, if I may approach, I'm going to spread these out.
Just for the record note, Terry Brown is now present.
Okay, great. It should behave.
So that one over here?
Yeah. You can check.
What I've started to do because of technology issues with like the screen that we had this morning is to bring a tablet and do a login or a go-to meeting so that you can see what I'm doing on the screen, whether you're here or not, and also just because it's easier for you to look at this than it is a screen sometimes. So this is our website. And actually, let me do something here. Let me pull up something really quick. I have found that our virtual simulators work better on Chrome than they do on the regular, so I'm just opening up Chrome. I just want to show you on our website, we have an area called Practical Exams, Practical Tutorial. And when you go to that, there's two areas that I want to cover today. Our exam, the practical exam, and the basic were both completely scrapped and updated. And by that, I don't mean it was canceled or anything else. We went through every 5 to 7 years, you have to update your examination. We went through that process starting in October or November of 2018. That was completed in May. The May exam was the rollout of the new exams, and that was across the board, all four of our exams. So the practical is what I'm here to talk about and then answer whatever questions you have about anything. In the practical exam, our practical consists of patient interaction questions. So there's audio-video component. There is a hotspot technology component. There is simulation component, and there's identification of pathology and anatomy. Those areas, the best way to do that and the best way to explain it to you is through two processes that I didn't have available last time I was here. The first is a practical slideshow. Now, this is what I call a flat PPA or PowerPoint. It's not cool. It's not interactive, so don't get excited about it, but it will show you a few of the things about hotspot, the patient interaction, and so on. So by clicking on that and making it full screen, this is the flat tutorial, and I'm going to skip this. You can read it. It's on our website if you want to look at it. I'm skipping to the parts I want you to see on this, and then we're going to close it out and go to the simulations. Hotspot technology. What we have in a hotspot is the ability to have areas on the screen so the candidate would see, if I wanted them to pick an apple, they would see, whoops, I don't know why that went blue. Oops, I may have missed, there we go. So the candidate would see this top part where my cursor is. They would not see the red box. If I asked you to click on the apple, you click on anywhere inside this box, you get the answer correct. You click anywhere else, you get it wrong. So obviously we're not testing apples. What we are testing, though, and this is a simplistic, silly version, but if we were testing and asked them to click on the pupil, this allows them anywhere inside that red area would be a correct answer. Anywhere outside would be incorrect. Again, the candidate would see this box at the top. They would not see the red at the bottom. But if they were to click anywhere in this area, they would get it correct. If they were to click up on the limbus or somewhere else, they would get it wrong. We use it for instrumentality. So if we were to ask for someone to identify a pair of calipers or something that would be used to adjust an acetate frame, acetate temple, wire temple, wire nose piece, whatever it is, we can have them identify the instrument not by memorizing a name but actually visually understanding it. So that's how we've incorporated the hotspot. I'm going to skip the simulation because you're going to see that in a minute, okay? So we're not going to go through any of that. Here's the audio video. So what we've done is we actually have patients that we have hired, professional actors. We've given them a script and we have videotaped them providing concerns that a first day optician would be expected to understand and address. So in this one, I happen to know what this gentleman's talking about here because I did all this. He's saying words to the effect of, you know, I really love my new progressive lenses. So that's a hint. But I'm having a little bit of trouble because when I look at the computer, I have to tilt my head back. It's also leaving marks on my nose. So that leaves us with several questions that we can ask. We can ask what instrument would be utilized to adjust the nose pads. Why is it leaving marks on his nose? What was done wrong that caused him to have to tilt his head back while he's looking at the computer? How would you fix it? It allows us to then incorporate after the audio/video either a hotspot, identifying the instrument, multiple choice, fill in the blank, any number of methods after they have seen the patient interaction to be able to determine whether there's additional issues that need to be addressed. So only a couple things on this, and I'll close it down and go to the other. We allow them to pause and start. They can go full screen. They can increase and decrease volume. They have headsets on for the test. These are all done at the same testing center as our regular exam. If they want to go back and replay it, they can drag this, stop it, or move it back to the beginning. To do so, they have complete control. So I'm going to exit out of this and go back to where I wanted to show you the simulations. So when I came last time, we had a lensometer, and that was it. We didn't have a practice area. We didn't have a tutorial. We didn't have anything else that I could present to you. And if I may, it was rather rudimentary at the time because, I mean, the lensometer was good, but the presentation wasn't because I didn't have all of this capability or money for the tablets, which are now cheap. So what I wanted to do is show you, we at that time I had the lensometer. We now have a slit lamp, we have a keratometer, and we have optical measurement, which includes pupillometers, ABDBL measurements, seg height, PDs, various uses of the PD ruler, marking and measuring, and so on. So I want to start with the one, you've seen the lensometer, but one thing I want to share with you is we actually have a tutorial now. For each one of these, does not teach the candidate what to do, but it teaches them how to be prepared for the exam. So there is some teaching component. We built one for every single part, but I'm going to pick the slit lamp, and this is the simulation that they can, oops, hold on. I can hear it on my computer, but you can't.
Contact lenses. The purpose is to familiarize you with electronic simulations of contact lens fitting tasks and to familiarize you with the Topcon SLD2 slit lamp, the model used in the test, if you've not used that model before.
Okay, so I'm
first
just,
on the agenda,
I'm going to skip
you
forward.
You can use this in...
You don't need to hear the various parts of this. I just want to share with you a couple of things because this is completely interactive. So the candidate has the ability at the end of
the
some of these slides.
The tutorial starts here. The MCL. This first section of the tutorial.
I'm skipping all of that because you don't need to hear it. But you can go back and play with it if you want. But at the end of these slides, there's a lot of interactive areas.
This is the type of simulation you will find in a certificate the level.
So this is the end of the slide. That one's not interactive, sorry. That one taught about the simulation and what functionality they need to have. I'm just going to skip, and then we'll go to the test question so I can show you all of the functionality.
Now look at the slit lamp in its most common position.
There we go.
Right, up and down.
All right, so the simulator is now active at the end of this slide. So the candidate has the ability to do this right now, to move it, in and out, focus, up and down, just by clicking on with the mouse, clicking the middle, or pushing on the arrow to rotate the knob. So that's a type of information they're learning. Obviously, that's just one slide. Let me close out. And now I'm going to go to the test questions and just show you a few. I'm going to go to the one, the last one that we developed. So we've done the marking, measuring, and pupillometer. So in a marking and measuring, we find that it's important not just to have PD measurements with a ruler. We want to have interactive. We want to have it the way that you would really have it on a first day. So this is what we built. Patient presents, I'm sorry, if you go back to last, it's telling you what you're supposed to do right here. why the patient's with you and what you're supposed to do. So you click on the marker, move the marker up, click where you want to measure. That's not where I wanted to measure, so I hit erase. Move it where I really want it, click mark again. Click on the PD ruler, pulls up the PD ruler, record the answer. And on the tutorial practice question, you can check your answer, and it tells you whether you're correct or not. You can go back, or you can go on to the next one. I'm going to skip several of these. There's several different marking and measuring with a flat top trifocal, flat top bifocal, different types of glasses. And I'm going to skip those. You can go in and play if you wish. ABDBL. We wanted to make sure we had a full ABDBL. We also didn't want to have an issue with the bezel, so we actually included the dotted line because you never know under an acetate frame where the bezel is. So we don't want to have guessing, and we also grade this to ANSI standards. So the ABDBL, you measure what you want, you record it if you wish, you rotate it, you measure the B, sorry, go to the bezel, measure it, go to the DBL. Record your answer. Check your answer. Tells you whether you're correct or not. And on this one, I measured two things wrong. Whoops. I did 21 millimeters. I did this on purpose. I do know the answer. I've done this a few times. I did this on purpose because I want to show you. It tells them how it's incorrect and that they may want to try again. So then the candidate can go back and figure out what the proper measurement should have been. So that's the ABDBL. Here's a pupillometer. So the pupillometer, drag it down, left, right, binocular, move it up, infinity, near, intermediate. Candidate has to know which one they're looking for and what's asked for in the question. So you go to the previous screen, this is what's asked for. You think it's set correctly, you position it. You drag it to where you think it should be. You view the readings. Readings are here. Now the person has to understand, are you supposed to be recording a monocular or binocular, left or right, binocular, intermediate, near, or distance? If they record it in the wrong area, they're wrong. Obviously, they're supposed to know what they're doing. So this takes a little time, not a tremendous amount, but some of these require recording in multiple, and you'll see on a few of these, multiple areas. So it says record near and distance. So you have to know to adjust this to the near and then position. Or it may want left and then right and then binocular. So the person has to know what it is that's being asked. Same thing. I mean, there are several of those in here. Again, I'm not going to waste your time going through them. Yes.
So on the test, will it have all three sections?
Yes.
And again, they need to determine which section they need to get.
Okay.
Correct. Because we don't want them to, this is exactly what they'll see on the test, except it won't tell them the correct answer. But this is exactly the type of thing that they'll see, because we don't want to have somebody rushing through just recording them on the first column right here, because they're supposed to know this is not right monocular, this is binocular. They have to know what that means. They have to know how to set the occluder. They have to know whether to set the occluder, whether to go for infinity or near, intermediate. So this requires use of the pupillometer. So I'm going to close out of that group of simulations, and I want to show you my personal favorite, the slit lamp. This one, what we did with the slit lamp with the TOPCon, you heard in the tutorial, it's a TOPCon 101 or 100, I think, SDL. We actually purchased, I think it was 8 that they had to tear apart completely to do inside and outside simulation, so that every part of it was then computerized, digitalized. What we did was we bought them with the video camera attached. They have an option, I think it's for teaching purposes, but they have one of the slit lamps that has the video attached. So we did that, and it allowed us to do this. Now, here's the objective for this candidate. Here's what we're able to do, because we actually have the recording of an actual slit lamp examination. Sorry. So we can go full screen, which is big, or we can go back to small screen. We can pause, we can rewind, but we can actually see a real examination of a contact lens fitting on the eye.
Can you do that full screen so we can see it better?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
And then you can also go back. You can pause, or you can go forward. But it allows us to have real live images, not false, not fake. So that's one. The candidate is asked to determine whether it's too loose, too tight, or a good fit. And it explains what the problem was when you click on it. Another one, this is not, I'm going to skip it. That one's boring, in my opinion. It's just a with the rule of astigmatism, and it's a still shot, so it's not something that I like to show. This one's cool. This one, if you want to know which parts of the slit lamp we require people to know, this is where they would click. They have to know white, cobalt, red, free, green, diffuse direct, magnification, left and right, and using the joystick to focus in and to move up and down. Returning to the simulation, we can focus in. On this one, we don't need, it's not set up to be direct or diffuse because of the question that was asked. You can increase magnification, decrease, move it up and down, and so on. This is one that I like a lot. No, that's not it. Skipping it. This is the one. There you go. Direct diffuse set up with the fluorescein having been applied. Increase, decrease. I'm going to go ahead and go. And my mouse is, of course, oh, well, might be because I'm zoomed in. You'll notice the issue. My answer. So we have that set up on the slit lamp. The next one I want to share with you is the newest one as well, the keratometer. I only need to show you one because they're all the same with different different rule or different issues, but they're all the same. On the exam, we don't tell them the step-by-step. Okay, so on the tutorial we do, we removed from here, though, it used to have, you didn't set the occluder correct, so do it again. Now it lets you go through whether you set it or not.
That's weird that you're covering the eyepiece.
Well, that's because you have to set the occluder first to make sure that it's all calibrated. That's the first step that we teach. So that's all you're doing is setting it, and then you focus the eyepiece. So if you notice, I've focused the eyepiece here.
Your lensometer.
So then I go to the next screen. And I can adjust it up and down. Go to the next screen, move it left and right. And you'll notice I'm not being careful because it will let me go all the way through. But then it's my job, if I think I'm ready on all of the adjustments, to get to the end, do everything with the right horizontal and vertical, and that's clearly the answer. So then I can record my answer. And I know that's not right. And I know I didn't set it. So it allows the candidate to wrongly set it. That took quite a bit of time for us to adjust because exams are set up to record only the right answers. They're not set up to allow people to screw up. This has like 8 exams inside of one question because they have to know to set the occluder, focus the eyepiece, move all of the different functions in the right place. If they don't do it correctly, they come out with the wrong answer. But we had to let them get all the way through that to record the wrong answer. So we spent a lot of time with this and rebuilding it to make sure that the candidate didn't have to have the first steps correct but could go through and still record their answer wrongly. So that's what the keratometer is about.
And do you guys feel like you got the issue fixed from last time?
Yes. So the issue that she's referring to in the May exam, we had an issue on the keratometer. What happened was our testing facility, without knowledge to us, had a new software. And the software glitched across the board. It wasn't just our exam. With anything that required computer capacity, it locked up the computer. So what we did was immediately on May the 3rd, was on a Friday, if I'm not mistaken, or a Saturday. The first day that we knew something had happened, we individually called every single candidate across the country that was affected by it, apologized to them, allowed them to retake at our cost. Prometric paid for it, but we immediately reached out, rescheduled, handled everything for everybody. What happened was because it glitched, those keratometer questions are supposed to take 5 to 8 minutes each, but you only have 2 or 3. You have 45 minutes to pass the exam. Instead of 5 to 8 minutes, they were taking 15 to 20 minutes. You put 3 of them on there, the person never gets done with the exam. That was not intended. So we reached out, we've apologized to everybody, we handled it, and as of last week, well, now 2 weeks, they had fixed it, the glitch is gone, and we haven't heard a word from the August exams.
Yeah, so far so good.
Right. So we rebuilt the whole thing, Prometric spent the entire month fixing it, and then we're up and running. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here, is to own up to issues, apologize for it, tell you what we did to fix it. We also,
good job.
Right, we did hear that there was one person in one location, it's the only one I've heard of, in Nevada that had an issue with the ABO lensometer eating up too much computer and glitching. Nobody else reported it, but we did go ahead and fix that as well. It was a software, it wasn't our exam, so it was a one didn't read the other kind of thing. But it, I believe it's fixed. If we hear of anything, we're going to...
We'll let you know.
Yeah, if we hear it, yeah. We've already told Prometric, basically, we don't want to hear another problem.
Yeah.
I don't want to have an issue. So they're on it. They've promised us that there shouldn't be any. Last thing I want to show you. I'm skipping this one because I hate it. It's already preset, which isn't a test to me. It was a first run out, and I didn't like it. Okay. I guess this is the glitch. No. All right. These questions here, the flat PD measurements that are already pre-marked, they've been scrapped. They're now part of our basic exam. So your candidates may see this, but it's on our what I call a black and white exam, which is just the written exam. We are pushing some of our old practical exam things that are outdated lesser technology like this into our basic exam. So we can still test them on it, but why have it on a practical when we've got the ABDBL and the marking and measuring and erasing and so on? So I want to get to skipping the seg height. Here is a lensometer. In this one, we give them the ANSI standard. Of course, that's the only standard that we have in the industry, so that's what we use. The drum, the axis, then the candidate is asked when they've done this. There you go. They're asked to determine whether it meets or does not meet, and they have to answer all of these correctly. If they don't, they get it wrong. So in this one, the sphere power meets, the cylinder power meets, the axis is off center based upon the ANSI standards and the prescription that's been given. We have here neutralization. They have to enter it precisely as it's written here in the fill in the blank. They have to use the negatives, the X, the zeros, everything. Skipping it because it's not exciting. Left lens, right lens. Click up here to go to which one you're measuring. This one's set up for prism reference point. There's one in here. Just want to share with you. That's another PRP. Let me give you another one. Yeah, bifocal, optical center. You'll notice the glass is moving. You're asked a question. You have to drag these to whatever the proper answer is and answer for each one, determine whether it meets or does not meet. This one's set up neutralizing a left lens of a pair of bifocals. We have one in here for add power. I think that one's another neutral. Here's the add power. Set up to distance reference point, near reference point, and what's the proper add based upon the instructions given. So that's what we've done. Each one of those simulators cost us about $250,000 to put together with the tutorials and everything, but we're trying to invest in the future of the opticians. We do also have another simulator. We're not sure what we're going to do with it, and I'm not sure how it impacts Arizona. But we did go ahead, and while we had these experts lined up to do all the optical equipment, we went ahead and did the retinoscope with four-opter, everything. So we now own the only simulator that I'm aware of in the entire country that the optometrists, ophthalmologists also want to use. We're using it on our advanced exam, but I don't know that it applies to any of the job task analyses for a basic optician, so we don't have it on the basic.
Let's not do right. that.
No, I know.
That is correct.
I do that.
It would be, that is correct.
And it would also exceed the scope of practice and get you in trouble, so we're not using it, but I want you to know that sooner or later you're going to see it out there on the simulators, on our practice area, not for the tutorial, but just as a teaching, learning, understanding the whole concept of the process. But we're working through additional patient interactions, additional identification questions, different ones, and so on. We're constantly improving the question bank and the information we have on there. And I'm here to provide any information or to address any concerns or questions you have. So thanks for having me.
The retinoscope simulator, is that something that's available for like an optometric assistant?
Yes.
Trainee?
What we're going to do with that is we're not sure whether we're going to lease it, lease a limited software, put it up for a price to people who want to use it, or just open source it like this. We haven't decided yet, but we couldn't pass up the opportunity to own it because people like the ones that did this don't come around too often.
Right.
So we went ahead and bought everything we could at one time.
All right. So did you say that on the ABO test, they're going to start seeing the measurement?
No. On the ABO test, they're going to, now let me make sure, on the PD measurement, seg height, yes. So there are a few of those that, because they've been piloted, because they've been properly vetted, instead of asking somebody a straight picture of a PD ruler in front of somebody's eyes and saying, does this mean, or what's the answer, we can actually record the right answer with a simulator on the basic exam, because we're not using...
On this test, or is it going to be on tests going forward?
Which test?
The basic?
Yeah, the basic.
It's on right now.
Because are you guys directing them to go on to the tutorial?
Yes. Yeah. So the basic exam has always had questions on it with pictures of different things. Like in the NCLE, there would be a picture of anatomical parts, and you're asked to identify what this is. Instead of doing that, we have the ability now to put on the basic exam, same question, but hotspot. Or same question of a picture of a PD ruler, but go ahead and drag it over and do your own measurement instead of having a preset PD ruler that's sitting there with a picture going, what's the right answer? Hey, make the person move it over and know what they're doing.
Because I've got quite a few students who, you know, are enrolled and are taking it as of now, and I think nobody told me that they got an email stating that they should go on to that practical.
Okay, it's on our website is where we talk about it in the handbook and so on, where to learn, what to do. But I can put it in the email. I don't mind doing that, telling them, hey, get more.
I just was not aware that that had changed.
It's brand new, because since we built the APDBL measurements, which were new in May, I have no use for the basic PD seg height questions.
Okay.
But I paid for them, and they're very expensive.
Sure.
So no. Why not use them instead? So, yeah, they're on there, and I'll do some more work on our website to make it more clear, and I'll put it in the handbook, too.
Okay. And then my last question is study materials. Where do you recommend that they get study materials, like for the slit lamp? And
what an excellent question.
You ready to come up?
No. we have worked very carefully with the NAO to assist them in putting together review materials and books.
Okay.
And they have two different series. I won't steal his thunder, but they have an OCPP that's really good, and then they have crash course materials that are good for people who aren't going through their career progression program.
Okay.
And so I don't want to steal any more of his thunder since he's here, but that's an area that we recommend. The other one is we've been highly recommending people really go to this simulator section.
This is crucial.
And use that not just for the practical, but use that to learn about what really is going on with the instrumentality, because it helps on the exam to know what instruments you're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
So on the basic exam, this is great for teaching your opticians in the office what you're looking for, how to use the equipment. As I told Mr. Nyblade yesterday, well, no, I think I told Ms. Darian, yesterday I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, in front of their board. And as I explained to them about this, they said, it's great because I don't have a slit lamp.
Mm-hmm.
For my apprentice, that it's readily available.
Mm-hmm.
But this allows me to, without injuring a patient, really show them what they need to do with a slit lamp.
Mm-hmm.
So that type of apprenticeship training can go on through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a few others out there, but we work hand in glove with the NAO to help them understand what's on the exam. And they're constantly updating their content to make sure it matches our blueprint, which was just done.
Cool.
So,
and then my only last suggestion is you could probably use a couple more slit lamp. Like, it'd be cool to have a few more questions.
Yeah. The problem with the slit lamp, I don't know whether you saw, you know, keratometer and slit lamp are the ones that have the least number of additional questions, samples. The reason being, instead of the questions being a couple $1,000 a piece, those questions for me to put out there are like $5,000 just per question to put it out there for people to use. Because there's so many parts and functions to it. Every question that they build has to be individually. Now, they use the template of the slit lamp, the way it looks, but then every picture, every image, the way the drum moves, All of that are, every single click is a separate picture that's been computerized and digitalized. So those two are the most expensive for us to do, and we couldn't afford to do 10.
I got you.
As we kill off some of the ones, you know, where our exam questions get, they've been used for a long time, we kill them off, we come up with new ones. As we do that, we're going to add more to this bank of some of the ones that are killed off.
Yep.
So excellent. It takes a little while, though. We don't want to release those while they might still show up on an exam.
Right.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jim. Very informative.
Thank you. So
I'm up to date now.
Huh?
I'm up to date now. But that was good to see. And
thank you very much. And with the chair's and the board's permission, if I have permission to leave, I'd like to be able to catch my plane.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming.
And Jim, this is Susie Coleman. I never received that link. So could you possibly resend it at some point? Not necessarily right now.
Yes, the only problem is that was a link to the meeting. I sent it, but I can send you a link.
I didn't get it.
Okay, I apologize. I will send you a link to the website to the section I was talking about. Would that be acceptable?
Perfect. Thank you.
I apologize. I don't know what happened.
I don't know either. It's okay.
Thank you very much.
But thank you for your time. You're welcome.
Don't speed on the way to the airport. Oh, you got all your plugs?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, our next agenda item is the NAO.
So I had him fly all the way out here because I knew she was going to ask the question about the review.
Oh, you are so good.
I think it segued right into you.
You did.
What is his last name?
C-I-E.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you.
Good luck, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hopefully things will be better when you get home.
Thank you. Some real medical
Okay, we had sent these out to you so you could review the material, the career progression program, and what we're going to do is this will help move it along because right now we will entertain all your questions, and then if there are none, then we'll go through the program and tell you its advantages.
The only one that might have some.
Excuse me, can I have your name, please? I'm sorry, I don't
I'm
have
I'm sorry,
it on
my
agenda.
Name is James E. Check. I'm the executive director of the National Academy of Opticianry, and to my right is Ms. Diane Drake. She's past president of the National Academy of Opticianry, and she's also one of the authors of the Ophthalmic Career Progression Program.
Welcome.
Thank you.
To our heat.
Thank you.
The one that might have some question, Sherry is taking a little biological break. She'll be right back. She's very interested in training and that because she's a trainer for her company. She has had a chance to look through this because we did get it in time to peruse it, so she might have some questions.
That's fine.
But here she comes, so we'll be able to see if she's got any to start with, or if she wants to wait till after.
Okay.
Just checking to see if you had any questions before they start the presentation that you have.
I have the same question. So what study materials do you find are best for the ABO NCLE practical? Okay.
It's a program.
Take a look at them before you go.
Okay. What, books?
Yeah.
You can have them. You can have the whole set.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, fall. Thanks.
There you go.
You're the best. Okay.
Okay, how do I get a set?
Yeah, no kidding.
Ooh. Ask your
well,
question.
Actually, her,
well,
Jim,
that was
her
a question. How do her, I get a set?
I think she can share, and if you want another set, I would mail you a set.
Awesome.
Anybody that wants one, give me you want a set? Give me your card, and I'll get you a set.
Okay, cool.
You've got two options as far as studying for the ABO. This takes you from I know nothing to I know everything in opticianry. It's updated every 3 years. It's accepted by 11 of the 22 states that accept the apprenticeship. It's accepted by lens crafters, all the chains, okay? So for instance, if you're working in Arizona and you're working for a chain, they'll pay for the program. So no money out of your pocket. If you are going to work and get this program, it costs you $1,100. If you don't want to pay $1,100, you pay $300 down, $50 a month until it's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's a total of $1,200. The books are also online. So if you don't want to take your books and you're on vacation, and if I lived here, I'd be up in Sedona right now. You can study online. You can study with your Chromebook. You can do whatever you need to do. The tests you can take online. It tells you like that whether you've passed or not. Okay? And if you don't want it, if you're not comfortable taking tests online, you can have the test mailed to you. You get 2 weeks to take it and send it back to us. After that, it's null and void. The tests are constantly changing. The beauty of this program is the people in Scottsdale, Phoenix, Yuma, anywhere, Tucson, they're learning the same thing. Okay? And you've got uniformity. If you don't have a school, technically you have a school now. Everybody should be able to afford it. You don't need a computer. You don't need anything. You just buy the books. Now, if you have a computer, it makes it a lot easier. But if you don't, okay, you can still get it. It's still affordable. And 97% of the people that take this program pass the ABO first time through.
You'll notice there's five courses.
Yeah.
We used to call them volumes. They're courses now. But you don't get the second one until you complete and first. Successfully pass the final exam for the first volume. So it's just like they would be going to school. You're not going to move to the next level until you've successfully passed one. So that's why if they get to the end of it, and if they could pass this, they definitely should be able to pass the basic exam. We have a lot of the information that's in there that's also in the advanced exam, although we don't throw that out there a whole lot. But we've got students that have gone through this program that almost immediately go through. Once they've taken the ABO basic, they have to wait one renewal cycle and then go take the advanced exam.
All the information of eyeglasses and contacts.
Yes.
Everything.
Okay. The fifth book is the one on contact lenses.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you did want to go and pursue a college degree or a community college degree, Hillsborough Community College in Tampa will award you 14 credits if you complete this program. But you got to complete it with a B average. You have to take all five volumes, and you have to take your tests online.
Okay.
Do they have an actual associate program then?
Yes, they do.
14, then you take your basic English and everything so you can have associates.
Right.
Dispensing.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, you know, if you're interested in college credit and you're interested in going to the associate program, if you get through with this, and this is transferable. If you live in Arizona and somebody said, your husband or wife say, we're moving to New York accepts this. So you don't have to go through it again. Florida accepts this.
Well, and the interesting thing is, as I read your statute, you will accept apprentices from out of state as long as they can prove that they've worked 3 of the last 6 years under a licensed optometrist, optician, allopathic, that other word, all those things. So if somebody has been taking the OCPP programs in some other state, then obviously that could transfer into the state, and you would, I don't know, having been on our licensing board for the last 16 years, we look at some of those scenarios as well, and whether or not, you know, can that be transferred into the state. And obviously this would be allowed to be transferred into the state as well.
Right.
And it's not designed to be taken without a sponsor. They need to have somebody that is working with them, you know, so they can help them with any hands-on that would, the questions that would come up, and so they can understand them a little bit more. Another thing is, as a student is going through the program, if they've got a question, they can contact the National Academy of Opticianry, and the academy will get in touch with one of us authors to answer the student's question, you know, to review things or maybe give them more explanation.
So there's always a mentor available?
Always.
Somebody available, yes.
Excellent.
And we get back to them. Most of the time it's me.
Any other questions or concerns? Obviously, if you are interested, make sure you give them your contact information. I know Terry for sure would be with all the stores. So.
Yeah, I would love it.
Yeah. I don't know what you would want the whole program for other than for your own personal use.
And I'm training my daughter.
Okay.
Anybody else with
excellent.
From an optician standpoint, I believe that the program is valuable in that, you know, apprenticeship programs are only as good as the mentor that is training that optician.
Right.
And sometimes you get somebody that's well-meaning and they've been in the industry and I've been doing it this way for 20 years, so, you know, why can't I really get it right, you know? I had an employer that came to me one time, and I was on the licensing board, and he said, I've got an employee that can't pass the practical examination, and I can't, you know, I don't know why they can't take it. But she's been working for me for 17 years, and I sat down with her, and in the first couple of minutes, I just had her take a frame and show me how to measure the A measurement, B effective diameter, and she was like wrapping the ruler all the way across this plus 3 lens that, you know, was, I don't remember what the base cover was, probably plus 9. It was an ugly pair of glasses, but she was wrapping it around, so she was coming up 2 millimeters off just in the measurement, you know. And I told her, I said, well, you're measuring it wrong. I said, you're 2 millimeters off, and the reason you're off is because you're including the depth of the curvature of the lens. And she said, well, I've been doing it this way for 17 years. And I said, well, you've been doing it wrong for 17 years.
Times have changed.
There
industry's
you go.
Industry's changed drastically, so got to change
so
with it.
She didn't have a good mentor 17 years.
Exactly, or who she was working with.
Right. So, I mean, it's to me, the consistency is critical. And having testified to various legislators as well, they ask questions, and you've got to have something that can be substantial to say, okay, this is what we require. And sometimes the old journeyman way of doing things is not always going to work.
Or the way it was done in 1962.
You got it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gary. I didn't mean to talk to you.
Anyway.
Another benefit of these books are their tests at the end of each chapter. The back of the book are the answers.
So it has the practice tests in there, too.
What you're about to be tested on, and if you come up short on a test, we tell the person, go back to your book and take those tests, and that'll tell you exactly where you're struggling. It's really pretty straightforward, and it's very friendly for the user.
Jim, I'm impressed. It looks like a good program, so we'll take take further discussions on that. I'm going to change the agenda slightly here because we have a public member that wants to speak, and he wants to speak, I believe, addressing a little bit about the NAO.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and speak to the board?
I have one quick question.
Yes.
You know, I know that you, obviously you're here. You're 11 out of the 22 states that are licensed. Obviously, you're here because you want to add to that list, right? So my question is how's the progression going for the other 11? You know, is it actively working towards it? Because, I mean, I love it. I'd love to see all 22. I'd like to see 100%, right? So, I mean, I'm sure you guys have a game plan for that, but... just curious.
Well, no, that's a good question. We just locked in.
Excuse me. Can I ask who this is?
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just need the name of the public member that's speaking.
No, not yet. That was Terry Brown. That was a board member that was speaking just now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Is this, we just locked up Vermont last year, Tennessee, earlier than that, Florida. It's a process. We present the process. I mean, Florida took probably a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Tennessee took about a year. Vermont was about 6 months. It depends on the state. And the key thing is to get to address the state board. State societies are great, but that's not going to be the answer. We need to sit down and talk to you, and because you guys are the ones that make the laws or change the laws, okay? So we need to sit down with you and say, all right, here's what we have. Here's where how we can benefit the industry and benefit more certified opticians in your state. And let's face it, if you've got a knowledgeable optician, the company's going to do well. Because when you walk in there, if the person on the other side of the desk knows what they're talking about, you're going back. You're sending your friends there. If they don't have a clue as to what they're talking about, for instance, like in the state I'm from, you're never going back there. There's no way. You go blind before you go back there, okay? But it takes a while. States aren't, you know, readily, oh, yeah, we're taking it. I mean... try and get anything passed in Florida. But they did.
No, I understand. So my next question, though,
yes.
is with as you go out and you do this, you mentioned that some of the corporations are on board already. Is there a discounted rate for the corporations to buy into this? I mean, how does that work?
The only thing we do for the – it's still $1,100, okay? But what we do is we tell them, look, put $400 down, see if the person's going to do it. You know, initially they would get burned. They pay for the whole thing and the person would bolt.
Right.
Okay. So we came up with put $400 down, let's see how they do after the first book. If they got a 42, I'm thinking you're probably going to let that person go. That'd just be me.
Yeah.
But if they pass it, then we go to the next one. And the idea with some of the chains is you got 6 months to get the first book through. And after that, you go to the next book, and then they pay the balance. Now, if the person leaves after that, we give the chain credit. We say, all right, you paid $1,100. Put somebody else in here.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that.
On advice of counsel, we are going to go into executive session now. If I could ask you to just leave for a few minutes.
Actually, Dale, it would be a board member would have to make a motion to go into executive session and then a second and then a vote.
Okay, I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
For legal advice?
For what?
Legal advice.
Legal advice?
From legal advice.
For legal advice.
For legal advice.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Now, if we could just have you leave, please.
It's fine, please.
It's 11:29.
Aye.